Don Jackson Blattner, your favorite TV show theme. Go.
Okay, listen to this. 90210 or Saved by the Bell, and here's why. You know Tiffany Thiessen, who was in both of those shows? I hung out with her last night making quesadillas. Let's just point out I'm name dropping.
Wow, that's quite a coincidence here. So what were you doing with that TV star?
Exactly. It takes one to know one, right? So Tiffany Thiessen was in town. She has a new book about what to do with your leftovers. And so she was making quesadillas, and I went to this event. And of course, you know, I thought about reminiscing my 90210 days where I watched her and Saved by the Bell. This is like, you know, like late 80s, I guess, early 90s. I don't know. It was amazing, though. It was super fun.
So you are currently obsessed with the new pumpkin banana bread recipe. Is this one you dreamed up?
Okay, I dreamed up this recipe, and there is a very good reason why. Because I went to a coffee shop, and I was getting a coffee. And then from the little, like, bakery section, I started hearing my name being called from this pumpkin and banana bread. And it was like, hello, Dawn, you need me. Like, it's look how delicious I look. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I do feel like pumpkin or banana bread. I couldn't decide. So I was like, why would you decide? Obviously, you would make pumpkin banana bread in the same loaf. And then I looked up the nutrition information about this local coffee shop. Baked good.
Right.
And a traditional piece of whether it's banana or pumpkin bread, because usually they don't put them together like I do. It is 360 calories for one slice, just 2 grams of fiber, 6 grams of protein. And here's the kicker, 30 grams of sugar. That's how much you would need in a whole entire day. You have no other wiggle room. So I was like, you know what? Whenever I want something, my thought always is, if I'm craving it, I'm going to make it with better for you ingredients. So what I decided to do, and I put this on my website because that's what I do for you and your listeners.
Thank you. I put this
pumpkin banana bread recipe up. It's not traditional. Usually, you know, when we talk about recipes I make, it's like 2 ingredients. It's like 1 ingredient. I usually am like very low on ingredients. And I don't bake that much, honestly, because, you know, I'm not that good at it, really. But this is amazing. I use rolled oats in the blender and make it oat flour instead of using any white flour. So most of the breads that you're going to buy, you know, at your coffee shop are made with white flour. When you make it with rolled oats, you get all that whole grain nutrition. I put a banana in there and a half of a cup of canned pumpkin puree. Now, this is the season to be buying canned pumpkin puree because pumpkin has vitamin A, which is great for your vision and your skin, vitamin C for immunity, which is very important this time of year, and there's also fiber, which is great for gut health. So buy canned pumpkin, put it in stuff. In addition to the banana and the pumpkin and the oats, then I have the usual suspects of like eggs, your favorite milk, sugar. I put actual sugar in this recipe, but only 4 tablespoons for the whole entire recipe. And a little baking powder, cinnamon, salt, you know, the usual things. And listen to this difference in the nutritional. So instead of 360 calories, a slice of bread is 160 calories. Instead of 2 grams of fiber, this bread has 6 grams of fiber. This is per slice. Instead of 30 grams of sugar, this bread has just 4 grams of added sugar, and it has 9 grams of protein, which is, you know, an egg and a half, basically, in the recipe. So I'm very proud of this. I'm also always surprised when my baking turns out so great. So that's why I was like, I need to alert you that this is an excellent recipe, and you will love it.
Did I see something about taco ingredient? What am I looking at?
Oh, okay. So here's the other thing. So, you know, I'm pushing this whole thing, you know, get your pumpkin. It's so good for you. It's that time of year. Do it. It's
yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
But okay. So in the recipe, I only have you using a half of a cup of the canned pumpkin. So guess what you're going to be left with? A cup of pumpkin. And then you could say, oh, why didn't she do this to me? Oh no. But here's what I got for you. With the rest of that pumpkin or other cans of pumpkin you have in your house, which again, go get them. You can put it in oatmeal or smoothie. So, you know, thinking about that's just easy to like just dump in your bowl of oatmeal, dump in your smoothie. But if you have not done this, may I please make a pitch, a very aggressive pitch, for you to mix half marinara and half canned pumpkin. It is awesome. So if you're having, you know, like a veggie lasagna that you're making, or you're making pasta with a bunch of veggies and chicken meatballs, whatever, and you're looking for a sauce that is more seasonal, just a can of pumpkin or a cup of pumpkin, whatever you have around, into the marinara sauce you buy. By the way, buy no added sugar marinara sauce. You know, look at the ingredients, that there's no sugar in there. But it is awesome. And then, yes, you mentioned this, and I think people forget about how delicious for tacos you can put, you know, just like how people put like a smear of like vegetarian refried beans on a taco. You can put canned pumpkin in your tacos. It's awesome. It tastes so, so good. And then, you know, last thing is, if you only have a tiny little bit around your house, like, you know, a couple of tablespoons, you can easily make a pumpkin vinaigrette. So vinaigrette is just oil and vinegar, and then salt, pepper. Some people put mustard in there, some people put garlic in there. So you just have whatever vinaigrette that you have. Even it could be bottled vinaigrette that you buy, and a couple of tablespoons of your canned pumpkin, mix it together, and it makes an awesome fall, autumnal vinaigrette for whatever salad that you're eating.
Man, these are good ideas, and this sounds good. I will have Brenda do all of this. That pumpkin and banana. I love banana bread. I love banana cake with the pumpkin in there. And, you know, I'd like to eat it better, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's not available. It's too bad that when you do go to a Starbucks or wherever you get your nosh with your coffee, I don't know, do they have a, like, Don Jackson Blattner version of pumpkin banana bread there? Because sometimes it's just an accessory to the coffee, and it doesn't have to be profoundly sweet. If it were just something to chew on and nibble on and satisfy your hunger, would it kill them to do a healthier version of that, Dawn?
Well, I know. I love this idea. I feel like maybe I should be out there pitching all the cafes this recipe, because I got to tell you, it really is, it's as moist as you would want it. It is absolutely tastes as decadent as you would want it, but it really is just so much better for you. So, yeah, I think maybe this is another business idea, John, that you've given me.
Yeah, I'm keeping you busy. That's Dawn Jackson Blattner. Okay, Dawn, you ready for questions from our listeners?
Yes, love this.
How can you reduce salt in your diet? I'm trying to stay off my blood pressure medication.
Oh, I absolutely love this question. And I think, John, you could probably pipe in on this too, because you've been doing a good job on it. So the first most important thing is to know, where does your salt come from, right? Where are you getting this salt? And it's not a salt shaker. That's really only about 20% of most people's sodium intake. Most of it is coming secretly in your restaurant food or in your packaged foods that you're buying. So there is something called the Salty Six, which is a great place to start. And that's bread, lunch meat, sandwiches, pizza, soup. And then this last one changes. Some years it's rotisserie chicken, and some years it's burritos and wraps. So those are your Salty Six.
I love that rotisserie chicken, and I think I'm eating chicken, and they're so moist and delicious. You don't even need to eat the skin. I folded some of that into my salad last night. That's really salty.
And you know what? It depends. It really does depend. You can read the label of your how briny is the chicken that you are getting from the store, but I still prefer it, rotisserie chicken, over any sort of lunch meat that you're going to do.
Well,
so you don't have to, if you're going to rank them, it's like go with the rotisserie chicken without the skin, to your point. And that's still better than doing like deli meats and that kind of thing. So that's a great first place to start, are those Salty Six. Reading labels of everything you buy. Remember, if it says 5% on there for sodium, that means it's a low sodium item. If it says 20% sodium, that means it's a high sodium item. And then the best foods of all for your blood pressure are ones that have no label at all. And that's the fruits and vegetable aisle. They have potassium in them, fruits and vegetables, that help balance the sodium in your diet. So once you're removing all of these other foods that have a higher sodium content, make sure you're also increasing to 3 cups of vegetables and 2 cups of fruits every day. And that will extremely help blood pressure as well.
Dawn, I was walking through Costco yesterday, and there was an older couple in front of me, and the wife was saying how she quit eating vegetables because there was way too much sugar in them. And I thought, that can't be right. She needs to talk to Dawn.
Oh, I am in the corner right now crying, for real. Like, this is, I do not know what to do with this information, because it is shocking that people think this is true. Like, I'll have even friends be like, well, I don't eat carrots because there's so much sugar in them. Let me set the record straight. That is absolute nonsense. That at the end of the day, the number one food group that will help support healthy cells, your blood pressure, your blood sugar, literally everything is vegetables. So there are natural sugars that are in vegetables, which are, by the way, very low. But these natural sugars are in a matrix of nutrition, fiber, potassium, vitamin C, all sorts of phytochemicals and nutrients that we need. So do not let anybody ever tell you that vegetables have anything wrong with them. They are the number one food group to eat, and at least 3 cups a day is what we should be doing.
Hey, Dawn, does canned pumpkin last in the fridge very long?
You got about 3 to 4 days on opening a can of pumpkin and then keeping it in an airtight container in the fridge. So that's why I do like to have, you know, quite a few things that I could do with it, because it doesn't last forever once you open that can.
Is there a nutritional difference between yellow rind and red watermelon?
Oh, interesting. So technically, the answer to all of these things, when you're looking at vegetables with different varietals, is they are so darn similar. They are so darn similar, it probably doesn't make a big difference. However, on a very microscopic level, and a very small level, yes, there is a difference. Different colors are actually different compounds in our fruits and vegetables. So if you see, you know, like a purple cauliflower or a white cauliflower, there is in a purple cauliflower something called anthocyanins, which is a different compound that's found in the white. But they're both healthy and they're both great. So the rule of thumb is more variety, the better. So sometimes buy the yellow, sometimes buy the red.
Heirloom tomatoes are no different than other tomatoes nutritionally.
No, they're no different than other tomatoes nutritionally, but, taste-wise, aren't they delicious?
Just made that banana pumpkin bread this morning, John, to bring to my sisters in Michigan this weekend. Thank you, Dawn Jackson-Blattner. I want to report back, 952. You need to tell us how yummy it tastes. And 815 said, my 15-year-old wants to take creatine. Should he? Is that safe?
No. It's, you know what, there's plenty of research that it says it's the most researched supplement you can take, talking about creatine. But most of these studies, there are some on kids, by the way, but most of these studies are adults. So for kids, I say the number, let me give you three things. The three things to focus on if it's a kid who wants to do better in their sport and grow muscle. It's one, make sure you have enough calories and protein in your diet. Make sure you're eating enough food, because a lot of times what's the problem with kids is they're skipping meals, they're not snacking, they're not having enough before bed. So make sure you have enough calories and protein. Two, make sure you're lifting weights. And three, make sure you're getting plenty of sleep, because sleep is where we build and repair muscle. So that is where you spend all of your time, all of your effort, on those three things. And supplements are just not something I recommend when it comes to kids and teens.
The guy my son was working with years ago, when he was trying to bulk up, but get more muscular. He was an athlete. He was trying to add a little muscle weight. He really wanted him to eat a lot of, like, chicken or just meat.
Yeah.
He said, load up on the protein. So I was like, here's another chicken breast. You got to pile that in there. And is that true, Dawn?
Yes. Honestly, protein and enough calories. You have to have both. So the unfortunate thing is people only think about protein. That's very, very, very important, yes. But if that kid is still not eating enough total calories throughout their day, they don't have enough raw material to actually build muscle. So it has to be enough protein and enough calories for kids, and weightlifting and sleeping, because you have to make sure you get all three of those. That's the magic potion for growing bodies to build muscle.
John, have Dawn talk about metabolism in older adults, metabolism in older folks. I'm having a hard time losing weight. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about it. It is true, as we age, that we lose muscle mass. And muscle is your metabolism. Like, the more muscle you have, the longer and healthier you live. So the number one threat to our metabolism as we age is the fact that we're losing muscle. And this is a huge, huge problem. So the two things, actually, just like we talked about for kids, let's say the same thing. As we age, we really need to focus on getting enough protein at our meals. It's about 30 grams a day is what you're looking for. So you don't have to be somebody who counts every second of the day everything that you're eating. But at a meal, just double check that you're having about 30 grams of protein. That's huge. Number two, we have to lift weights. It is not just enough to walk. It is not just enough to swim. It is not just enough to do all of the things that are great for our heart. We also have to have resistance training or strength training in there. And number three is sleep. Honestly, it just like kids need to build muscle doing these things, we do too. The only thing that's different is kids really need to eat a lot of calories to build muscle for their growing bodies. And adults really need to just focus on making sure you're getting enough protein and plenty of produce at your meals.
If vegetables are cooked, Don, does that make a nutritional difference?
Yeah, you know what? Cooking vegetables does change the nutrition. Sometimes worse, sometimes better. So the rule of thumb is when you're looking at your vegetables in a day, is having some of them raw and some of them cooked is probably a good idea. So like, for example, tomatoes and tomato sauce actually have more of this lycopene that is so good for us when it's cooked. And especially when it's cooked with a little olive oil. So there are certain circumstances like that where cooked is better. But in the end, it does not matter whether you're having raw. If you like it that way, have it raw. If you like and you prefer it more cooked, good. Because 9 out of 10 of us, and I'm looking at all of us, do not eat enough fruits and vegetables. And it's vegetables in particular, we're horrible at. So really, the answer to this is just eat them raw or cooked.